You're listening to Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. And I'm your girl Kay, that's K-A-Y. And I'm pretty excited about this episode because we're going to be talking about FUBU, you know, for us, by us. And I have an amazing guest by the name of Jay, K and Jay. I'm so corny. I have a great guest by the name of Jay, and he's representing an awesome, dope-ass clothing line. I don't know if you've heard of it, but I've heard of it. It's dope as shit. I'm definitely going to cop me some fitteds and some wears. I want you guys to check out Sucka Free Clothing. What's up, Jay? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Oh my goodness. It's been a while since we spoke. If you guys don't know, I've known Jay for quite some time, right?
Yeah, it's been some years, definitely.
Some years. And I remember when Jay came out to me, he was talking about, like, back in the day, like, this was years ago, he was talking about his clothing line, Sucka Free, and I was just like, yo, that sounds dope. So tell us about Sucka Free, tell us about yourself, like, we want to learn more.
Yeah, my name is Jay, grew up in the IE, Rialto, and the way everything came about, just been a hard life, you know? Some people just deal with different type of drama, different type of negative feedback from people. Mm. And like the way everything just came about, it just, one day you just like, you know what? I'm gonna stay sucker free. Cause all these suckers out here, the only thing they do is hate, trying to be negative or trying to bring you down. Instead of that, let's make a positive thing to do. So we ended up coming out with Sucka Free.
Nice. And Sucka Free is like, the culture of Sucka Free is like, just being positive and like not being like someone's like not feeding into someone else's negativity, right?
Yes.
Dope. Yeah. Tell us about like your logo. Like, what are some of like the implications of your logo? What does it mean?
Oh, the logo. Okay, it's pretty funny. My brother, he's really artistic, so he always just like wants to create something different that other people like never even like thought of. So what he did, he decided to make a sucker eating a sucker. So it's like, it's pretty different, but it's like, what is that? Is that a sucker eating a sucker? It's like, yeah. He's like, you know, he thinks that person is being a sucker, but it's actually the other way around, like eating all the negativity out, you know? But the little circle logo is really like, kind of like reminds us of Converse. I know everybody knows about Converse.
Yeah. I love my Converse. I used to love rocking Converse. Like my red Converse. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we stay having those. So we
or like Chucks. We call them Chucks, right?
Yeah, Chucks. Yeah. Until, you know, Wiz Khalifa decided to do Taylor game. So.
Hey.
Yeah, that's just like how it been. So, yeah. So we just brought our childhood into that logo.
Nice. And I, you know, one thing about it, when I saw the logo at first, I was just like, this is dope. Because, I mean, as much as it kind of reminds me of like hip hop all the way, because you remember, I don't know, like if you know about like Mos Def and that song Got.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't get mad. Don't get mad. And then he talks about like, you out here, you know, profiling and studying, this is how you get got. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of reminds me of getting got. Like, you think that this person is like, oh, this person is this type of way, or they have like this persona or whatnot. And the next thing you know, they could be somebody else's sucker, and that person could be somebody else's sucker. And it's just like a cycle of suckers.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess you can say it's like a magic trick. Like, you're like,
yeah,
oh, you think.
Yeah, it's like one of those like. It's like one of those like damn near the artwork that you look into and you can see like multiple dimensions or multiple things in that artwork, you know?
Yep.
The longer you stare at it.
Now it is.
So I thought that was pretty dope. I mean, like, you can take that, you know, you could take that as like a little, you know, in your pocket. You can make a sucker, suck it a sucker, make it another sucker. I mean, that would be dope.
Yeah. We could end up putting that to work.
Right?
Yep, it's nothing like putting, you know, it's nothing but putting your mind into work. So whatever you want to create, put it to work and just put it out there. People enjoy it.
Exactly. And I mean, I really like Sucka Free because like the whole culture that goes with it again, like you stated, like, it's about realizing that there is just, like, a lot of people who are trying to feed off of you into a negative, you know, space or a negative way, because that feeds them, you know? And so not being that person that feeds them, and focusing on yourself and putting that energy into yourself is something that is pretty amazing. And to have that, I'm really excited. So tell me, how did you start? How did you start Sucker Free? Was it you, your brothers, your friends? Like, who started it? How did it start? I'm excited. Let me know more.
The way it started, I've seen it. It's pretty crazy. So we used to live in Rialto. So we would always go to my cousin's house. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty crazy. I always was lay at the bottom of the bunk. And I kind of looked up at the next bunk. And I kept seeing Sucker Free here and there. I'm like, what is that? Like, I've never heard of that before. I heard songs, but I never really paid attention that way. Mm-hmm. But I found out my brother that was behind it all.
Wow.
It took time, but I was wondering why, like where did this come from? So later on within the years, my brother, he would always say, man, you gotta say Sucker Free. That's how I am. Say Sucker Free, always. So he decides, he ended up going to the CCC, the California Conservation Corp.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called. And he ended up living out there in Ukiah, out there up north, like San Francisco, Sacramento.
Wow.
So it was like a lot of stuff going on. Then one day he called me, he was like, hey, he's like, you know, the Sucker Free? I was like, yeah, what's up? He's like, man, let's decide to make it to a clothing line. That's where I want to take it to. I was like, oh yeah? He's like, yeah. So he just ended up putting in Sucker Free on the hat. He was just rocking it all the time, and I seen people giving comments about it. So one day he comes out here. I believe he left his hat or something. So I seen it. I'm like, yo, I'm rocking this. So I would rock it to school, different parties, everything. I just seen people just like, oh man, that's amazing. What's Sucker Free? That's dope. I was like, man, it's just a positive. It's just a positive movement. That's what it is.
Wow.
So it's crazy, and within the years, I've just noticed that how much people really just paid attention to it, and now I see everybody wants to be a part of that movement. So it's crazy. It's a crazy story, but yeah, that's pretty much how it went.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, within short words.
No, you're good. You're good. I mean, I think it's dope when you start something with just the mindset, right? And it's always that process of creation. And I think on a more deeper level, kind of like Sucker Free, we have the ability to create as human beings, right? And I think that's what exactly what makes us God-like, right? Is our ability, that's what makes us a human, and the being part. And the being is our ability to be and our ability to create. And that's a part of being a being, right? And for you to first start off with the mindset of developing Sucker Free as a concept, and then your brothers start developing it into an actual physical clothing line, not just a mindset, but a clothing line that can represent the mindset, and then spread that as a form of I don't know, not necessarily conversion, but just informing people what Sucker Free is, and then being able to start developing oh, okay, I want to develop that same perspective of being Sucker Free too, and then developing that mindset and then spreading it out. It's really amazing. It's really dope. If you guys don't know, check out Sucker Free. They are on Instagram. Tell us where we can find your works. Tell us where we can find you on Instagram or any other, you know, sources, so we can definitely support and buy Sucker Free products. Let us know.
Yeah, we're under Sucker Free 101 INC on Instagram. If you want to buy materials, you could go ahead and hit us up on there, or you can go on Sucker Free 101 INC. bigcartel.com. So
nice. And I'm definitely gonna have all of that information on my social media, so you guys can definitely purchase some items, support the community. And before we go, we definitely want to discuss the big question that I have, right? And this is a question that a lot of people may not even think about because they're not used to this type of perspective. But I don't know, for me personally, I want to know your perspective on have FUBU. Have we forgotten FUBU? FUBU, the clothing for us, by us. But I'm not I'm not really talking about FUBU, like the clothing all the way. Even though FUBU was out and it was a clothing line in like the 90s and the 2000s. Like what I'm talking about is for us, by us being black clothing lines, black, you know, owned companies, shit, black owned toothbrushes. I have a black owned toothbrush, okay? Oral care, black owned products that we purchase, black owned books, but everything black owned that we support. I think we have forgotten what FUBU is. As far as we, I'm talking about the black community and supporting other black entrepreneurs, black businesses, black clothing lines. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, our line, we actually look up to FUBU. But it's kind of sad. It's really sad. But I will say, like, the black community, in a way, we have forgot about FUBU. Because that's, like, within the times, I asked about it, like, man, yo, what happened to FUBU? And a lot of them, like, nobody doesn't, like, that's old. You know, they always think it's so worn out. It's not in style anymore. That's in the 90s. Nobody wears that anymore. Everybody's too much into the trend and the new styles that are just keeping it, you know, supporting our own. Like, even they too busy trying to be like the next person, but they never really pay attention where it really kind of began, which is FUBU. That's what brought, that gave us the platform, like, yo, man, these people, you know, they're gonna rephrase us as black people. They're gonna, like, oh man, they're creative. They're really creative. But as a black community, we just forget about it. And it's kind of hard nowadays because we, like, you know, we deal with racism. Racism is at a high right now. So,
it's always been.
But now, you know, now we see it. Now everybody around the world actually sees, like, what's really going on. But it's sad that, like, our own don't support each other.
I think that's a big issue. I think, like, you know, I feel like we've utilized FUBU, like, for us, by us. I think it was a movement and a trend. Just like your clothing line is a movement, right? So it was a movement and a trend, like, for us, by us. And I think that that spawned out because Tommy Hilfiger, the whole perspective that Tommy Hilfiger back in the day didn't want black people to wear his clothing, because a lot of people like Aaliyah, a lot of hip-hop artists were wearing Tommy Hilfiger and were turning it into, like, you know, like, making it our own type of wear. You know what I'm saying? And so since we were making our own type of wear, and Tommy Hilfiger basically said he didn't want black people wearing his clothing, and because of that, I believe FUBU spawned from that, and, like, Sean John and so many other, like, Coogee and all these great black designers came out, black clothing designers came out, and, you know, fashion labels came out, and I really dig that, and I really supported, even me, growing up, I supported a lot of black, you know, black fashion designers, you know what I'm saying, like Coogee, like, you know what I'm saying, like FUBU, all of that. So, but for me, I think that because the trends constantly change, people, just like in the 70s, back in the 70s when people were all, like, wearing afros and black power and fists in their hair, and everybody wanted to be natural and everything, because that was, like, seen as, like, a political statement, but it was also a trend. And I think that we have to dissociate a trend from a movement. Like, if we want to support something, it cannot be a trend and a movement, because that means that movement's gonna die soon, right? And we want to keep a lot of these clothing lines going because they're actually making statements. It's not just, you know, clothing or for fashion. You know what I'm saying? Like, Forever 21 is never gonna go out of fashion. You know what I'm saying?
And so exactly.
Right? We got to figure out, as a black community and as black clothing designers, how we can mass produce our products in a way that won't go out of quote unquote style. Like, a political statement should not go out of style. It should still keep continuing. And that's important. And I think fashion can definitely find a ground, like some type of a ground root to definitely dig into and grow, so that way we can still stay afloat. Like, I want to see, you know what I'm saying, Sucker Free stay afloat. I want to see you guys, like, expand and, like, go to New York and go to Paris and all over the world. And I want people to know not just the clothing of Sucker Free, that it looks fresh, but I want them to understand that it's a mindset, it's a lifestyle, and it's a perspective that people should adopt, you know, if they're going to rock the clothing.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're aiming for. We just hope nobody doesn't say, yeah, just a trend is really more, like you said, it's mindset and it's a lifestyle you have to live.
Exactly. Like, you know, Kanye West, real quick before we, you know, we exit our segment, which I'm so excited. I love talking with you, Jay. Kanye West, you know, he started his own clothing line or whatnot. And I remember he put, and I said this in a previous episode, he put a Confederate flag on one of his denim jackets, right? And he said he was making a political statement. But I thought it was very ignorant. Because as much as people want to say Kanye West is very smart, I think he's dumb as a damn doorknob. I think that he's just intellectual. He's smart when it comes to music and listening, and he's got a good ear for music, but it does not mean that he's so sociological and, you know, psychologically, you know, just able to understand and conceptualize things that affect multiple people and not just rich black people with white women who are like millionaires and billionaires. Anyway, ooh, I can go on and on. But oh, really,
he's a piece of work.
But it pissed me off when he put a Confederate flag on his clothing line and he's like, well, I'm making a statement. And I'm like, well, what the fuck is your statement? Are you trying to invite the KKK to a Kanye West, tour or like a show or something? You're trying to invite, them to your concert? You're trying to turn hip-hop into, like, kind of mixing it with Marilyn Manson, you know what I'm saying, with neo-Nazi type, you know, rock and roll? Like, what the fuck? And yeah. I just think it's dangerous. So going back to what you said, like, your work shows your culture. It shows what you believe in. And so we have to be careful on who we support and what fashion we support, right?
Yeah. Do you mind if I say something about the Kanye little situation?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like, can't put in a Confederate flag. It's like, it's showing, he's saying he's making a statement, but it's actually showing disrespect. Because, you know, off
I'm saying.
Back, like, they're going to be like, what, like, who gives you the right to put our flag on your line, you know? So, you know, you're going to get, it could start something really big. If it gets down to that point, hopefully it does not. And it's already, like, a lot of people in America is already mad at Kanye over all the little drama he started, his little smart comments about...
Yeah, slavery is a choice.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it wasn't. So, just saying that, like, you already got the black community already jumping on your head. You see other line, you see they got the trend going, you know, about Kanye and all that. So, it's like, it looks bad too, but plus you got the KKK and all that watching, like, oh yeah, we're gonna try to take this guy down. He doesn't know he's like really digging a hole for himself.
Yeah, and my thing is this, like, you know, if you're gonna die, I'm gonna need you to die for a movement. Like Malcolm X, he died for the cause. Martin Luther King, he died for the cause. You know what I'm saying? There's so many people that have died for the cause. I don't know what cause Kanye West is for. He probably doesn't fucking know what cause he's on. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, for me personally, if you're going to create enemies, you need to create enemies for a certain, like, what is your motive? Like, what is the whole end game here? Like, what are you trying to do? What kind of movement are you trying to make to help what or facilitate what needs for society? You know what I'm saying? If you're going to give your life, possibly, like you said, and have the KKK come for you, then at least you're doing something that the black community can vouch for and be like, yeah, that was for the culture, you know, that was for the community or whatever. But if you're not, and the community hates you too, or is like done with you, then it's like, damn, like you are just, yeah, USOL.
Yeah. What has gone with this man within the years?
It's sad. And it's like, you know, it's entitlement. I feel like once you get a certain amount of money and then it gasses up your narcissism, and he probably is going through mental disability. I'm not even going to lie. Like, he is probably going through a lot of mental stuff. You know, he's gone through a lot, losing his mom. I can only imagine, you know, and all of that. And so a lot has taken a toll on him, and I get that, but it does not excuse your behavior, because he has access to a lot of resources. And for me personally, I am never, even if I had the money, I would not buy a pair of Yeezys, because I'm only going to support people that I feel like are down for the cause and that I believe in, you know. And first of all, I think his fucking Yeezys are ugly as shit, and I said it. Y'all want to come for me, come. His shoes look like something I can get off of, like, downtown LA. Like, for real. For real, for real. Them shoes look like they was made. You know what I'm saying? And he is. He does have. Doesn't he have like a some type of warehouse or something, like a district, some type of district in LA anyway, where he gets his clothes made? A fashion district. Yeah, he works. He's got workers in his fashion district over there slaving to make his Yeezys, and they look like shit. They look like shit.
For a smart man, he is. For a smart guy, well, not anymore. You can tell he's lost it, bringing out basically, no offense to the homeless people, but like a homeless wear. So
I wouldn't say homeless wear. I would say I think I'm seeing where his perspective is when it comes to like he's trying to create like a dystopian, which is kind of like Hunger Games type of perspective of like fashion, where it's just like very plain but very like kind of like dystopian, right? You can look at so many other movies that have come out for, that are dystopian novels and movies, such as Hunger Games, etc. So I understand where he's going with his fashion. Like, it should be plain, and it should be nude, and it should be like, you know what I'm saying? It should just be regular. I get it. What I don't like, the sneakers is ugly as fuck, okay? I'm really honest. I'm not going to put anybody on my podcast that I don't like. If I don't like your art, if I don't like your lyricism, if I don't think you're talented, you're not coming on my podcast. I'm just being real. And the same thing, if somebody were to gift me with some damn Yeezys, okay, because of my situation, I would say, you know what, thank you for the Yeezys, but I'm going to need you to take them back and just give me the cash.
The receipt or something.
I am not about to rock these. So, yeah, but for sure, sucker free. I'm going to be purchasing a Sucker Free shirt. I'm definitely going to be rocking it. I love supporting all of amazing clothing lines. But mainly, I like knowing what it stands for. I like being a conscious consumer. And I think it's important that we all remain conscious consumers. And we're not just purchasing things that potentially, like Kanye West's jacket with a Confederate flag. You know what I'm saying? We're purchasing things and knowing the reason and the purpose of that art and of that clothing line, and making sure it stands in a line and we stand in a line with the mission of that clothing line. So that's dope. I'm excited, Jay. So yes, I'm definitely gonna be jocking one of those Sucker Freak shirts. I do like the red one. I think if I rock the red one, if I rock the white one with the red sucker, I'm going to have to get some red and white Chucks to match.
I can definitely get that for you.
Because.
Just give me the size. I can get it to you.
Oh, don't play with me, Jay. Don't play with me. Okay. Let me know, because I'll get the PayPal for you stat. Okay.
You can definitely go in there. We got you. Definitely.
I'm excited. Well, again, I love watching. Okay, well, since you asked me, I like a large shirt, even though I'm not a large girl. I like my shirts big, so I can wear like little short shorts and whatnot. Look cute. We'll pull out my little pom pom shorts and then rock my Chucks and a large shirt. Oh, I look cute in my little, you know, bamboo earrings. Oh.
I see you. I see what you're doing.
I'll do that marketing. Don't play. You need a model.
I'm trying to shoot for my photo shoot too. So just be aware. I'll definitely let you know.
You best.
I can get it to you today if you need it.
Oh, I would love to, Jay. I would really love to. You got to sign it though. I want my shirt signed, but like with a nice little Sharpie or something, and just you and your brother. Oh, I'm excited. So you guys, y'all hear me? I'm rocking the shirt. I'm rocking it with some Chucks. Are you guys going to be rocking Sucker Free? Are you going to be Sucker Free? You better check them out. Check me on my Instagram. Check me on my Facebook. I'm going to have all their information on where you can purchase their products. Thank you so much, Jay, for your time. Thank you so much for telling us about Sucker Free. And yeah, it was a pleasure having you.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate all that. We got you.
Thank you, Jay. I'm excited. And we're on to talk about our next great clothing line. And they're also a phenomenal perspective, and they have a great culture just like Sucker Free. We're going to talk about them in just a second. And again. have the privilege to welcome Patsy onto the podcast. If you guys don't know, she has phenomenal fashion. She infuses Jamaican with Filipino, her roots with her Tatiana Diane fashion line, or it's called TD. Patsy, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
I am doing great. I'm so excited. Oh my goodness. So let's get into it, because I know everyone wants to know what Jamaican infused with Filipino. Like, let's learn more about TD fashion. Tell us, like, what made you start TD and what does TD represent?
So TD is Tatiana Diane. That's my brand. I've named her. She represents my roots and my culture. I happen to be Jamaican and Filipina and American. And I first started out designing for a company called Earth Culture Roots back when I lived in Cali. Originally, you know, I was surrounded by, you know, my roots and the knowledge I was able to gain, and it just translated into the fashion. So before, I was always doing stuff for Earth Culture Roots, and eventually I had migrated to Texas, and once I came here, I had to think, like, what am I gonna do for myself? Right? Like, there's times where I needed selfish, and that's where Tatiana Diane came about. The very first fashion show I did out here, I created a TD ... logo, the very first one, and ever since then, it just, I've stuck with it, and it keeps progressing.
Oh my gosh. So, okay. So tell us, like, what made you, like, what was the first thing that came to fruition with TD? Like, what made you and inspired you? You said that you kind of, like, gained some experience and knowledge, and that's, like, your roots that came from Cali. But what made you pick up just designing? Because you actually design the clothes, you sketch them, and you also sew them, right?
Well, sometimes I'll sketch things. Like, I sketch things out that I may want to make one day. I barely do. I kind of have this, I go with the flow. I have an image in my head, and then I try my best to follow it, and then I just kind of go with it. Some things work, some things don't, but, oh, sorry, I forgot the question.
No, don't worry. It seems like with the question was mainly, like, you're, as far as sketching it and, like, sewing it, like, you do this all by yourself.
I do hand sew it. I do hand sew it. That's an issue I need to work on, is not putting people off. Work with me.
No, you're good. You're good.
I do hand sew my pieces, and then I'll use the sewing machine. Right now, I'm working on this collection called Cruise With Me. That is like Tour de Caribbean theme. And I'm doing new things as far as doing hand embroidering, using different patchwork, and seeing it's a high fashion level. I expect high fashion out of myself, so that's what I create. And now that I have TD, I feel like the importance of TD, Tatiana Diane, is when I create something, I want to be proud to put my name on that. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I have to expect the best for my client, whomever wants to buy my pieces. So
nice. And one thing that I absolutely love about your fashion, and you say you want high fashion, but one thing I want to note is the fact that you don't just incorporate, like, women of a certain, I would say, like, a certain type of figure. You know, you're not just going for, like, the slender, tall women. You have, like, a variety of women.
Yes.
That's something that I definitely respect. Like, you show women that are real life women, like, girls with her.
Yes, I have to celebrate us. Like, the thing I notice about, like, the culture of women, not all women, but, you know, a lot of women out there don't even know how to celebrate themselves, and they expect a man to do it or a lover to do it. But it's like, we should be able to decorate our bodies however we want and feel great about it. whether, you know, you'd rather be naked and you just want to put a little gem on your body, or you want to wear, what is it that I have on Instagram right now? I have that floor length sleeveless cardigan. Girl, that material is just so soft, and even that against a woman that may want to be naked underneath or put a bathing suit on, like, it's just something to decorate our bodies. I celebrate us, and why not do that in fashion? Fashion is like the number one thing that people pay attention to. What is it that people usually say when you get hired?
Yeah, it's what you wear.
It's like
what
you look like you wear. You'd be fit for this job. You look like you'd be fit for this job. So, you know.
Yeah. It's like one of the first things you see. It's like the non-verbals is the first thing that someone sees, right, that they automatically judge you on. And that is true. And like I said, I was just really happy to see, like, if you guys don't know, Tatiana Diane, her brand, it showcases a lot of different women. And it's not just sizes. So not just women who are thicker or have more curves, or maybe possibly in the plus or a plus size, which is nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful, and it's real women. But also the fact that these women come in different shades and colors, and it's just beautiful that you celebrate every type of beauty and not just mainly focusing on, like, the typical Eurocentric perspective of beauty, which is, like, tall, thin, you know, and very fair.
Honey!
So I really love that.
You know, I in California, when I'm casting models out there, that's the typical girl that comes my way. But, you know, I've been out here in Dallas, and the standards have been so different. Like, every model has a big butt out here. Doesn't matter how big or skinny they are, they just all have big butts. And there's this woman that was next to me, and she's like, yeah, that's normal out here. I think she was another designer. I was like, wow, this is... You know, there's two fashion shows that I'm participating within the next 2 months. So October 28th, it's Bling on the Runway 2. And that is for breast cancer awareness. The person who puts it together, I believe her mother has, you know, experienced. I think, I'm not too sure what the story is, but I know it ties in with her family. And I went to the casting call, and I want to create things based off of the woman that I see, because I mean, I have stuff in storage, but some of the pieces won't fit them. So since we are celebrating a woman, I want to be able to dress them up specifically. Girl, I'm telling you, every girl had a big butt, and there's a small itty bitty girl and a big girl. Like, I have a variety of models that I have selected from that casting. And
well,
that's one thing I love just about doing this is to uplift women.
Nice. And that's amazing, because it's like, it kind of reminds me of Janelle Monáe and Erykah Badu when they did like this song together. And I remember Erykah Badu said, the booty don't lie. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were laughing. They're like, the booty don't lie. And she said that in a very political way. And it's just like, you know, the song was basically explaining why, you know, we are still going to fight, and we're still, as women, as Black women, we are still going to fight for our voices. Hence why Big Mouth Black Girl podcast, you know, and why a lot of designers such as yourself, you guys don't just, in a sense, do designing just for creating beautiful pieces. To me, I see it as definitely political, and it's a political stance. And fashion is political, and it can be extremely political. And do you consider your fashion political?
In some ways, so I would say absolutely. When it comes to fashion, it's very open. You know, I used to be jealous of painters and artists because they are able to create an image out of nothing, you know, just some paint and a paintbrush. And a singer, they're able to create a song that, you know, they can sing and they sound good. I'm just like, what can I do? And, you know, what I noticed, the very first Tatiana Diane piece that I created while I was out here, it was a Bob Marley tribute. The back piece says, how long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? And, you know,
I remember that
found
piece.
What my niche is, and one thing that is a TD signature is that on the inside of my garments, you find a lot of, like, patchworks, like the really fabulous coats that I have. You'll see, you know, bright, it's kind of plain, but, like, you know, stylish on the outside, but once you open it up on the inside, it's like my personality. It's just so colorful, and then you'll see a message here, a message there, talking about, like, blank slots in history, da-da-da-da-da, you know.
Nice.
Untold stories leave blank slots in history, you know. So, I mean, I definitely would like to send you a picture of something I have created. I haven't got a good picture, but I'll send you something so you have an idea of what I have been creating. I have things in my vault. And
nice.
And, you know, one thing, too, about my brand is I want to make sure that I continue to go against the grain with the fashion industry, because everything is so fast fashion, and I, with my brand and whatever I make, I know that it's contributing in a sense to the number one, I think it's the number one or the number two polluting industry in the world. Fashion, you know, when you don't like a garment, you just throw it away, it goes to a thrift store, and then the majority of that those clothes goes to another part of the country, and it just builds up. It's trash. It never goes anywhere. It doesn't disintegrate. And, you know, I think about, like, if I'm going to leave something in this world, I would love to continue to leave the message, in a sense where you don't have to pay attention to the messenger, but pay attention to the message. Maybe, you know, how in a flood, books can be ruined, you know, electronics can be ruined, but the clothes will still be there, and you'll see whatever it is that I'm talking about, you know, that's going on in history or past, present, or future. I that's one thing that I'm leaving a legacy, and I'm continuing a legacy. You know, Bob Marley has sang a lot of important things about what Haile Selassie has said and what Marcus Garvey has said, and, you know, I think it's dumb as fuck that people look at him as just this ganja fucking idol or image. That's about it, but they don't listen to the message. And, you know, you have sometimes people have to see things more every day for it to be programmed in their head. Maybe people will stop killing, or yeah, maybe people will stop killing, you know, when I say prophets, our children, our people. Maybe it'll start happening when people actually hear, like, hello, wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
Okay. In Bob Marley's, when I look at that quote, it can go two ways. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Meaning talking about our financial situations, and then also our people, if that makes sense.
Wow.
That's,
yeah, it's very profound, and I think it definitely ties in with what I spoke with earlier with Jay. He's another clothing artist. He's not necessarily on a high fashion level as you, but he has, like, more I want to call it more street, like, an urban clothing. And I hate saying street and urban, because it's like a total, I, like, hate it, but I just, like, I want to say it's for us by us.
Yeah, but then it's like, real. You gotta, when you, it's like, you put that title in front of something, like,
yeah,
I'm an urban
model. Like, yeah, I feel like that categorization.
No, you're a model. I'm an urban designer.
I feel like that categorization, it does not leave room for any type of person to be like, okay, well, then I have to be, like you said, this type of person to rock those clothes. So for me, I just like his clothing because Jay and his brother, they opened up this clothing line. It's called Sucker Free. They were just on the previous segment, and we discussed how essentially clothing and fashion, how oftentimes movements are kind of approaching appropriated by fashion and it becomes a trend. And instead of a movement being a movement, it becomes a trend, and then that trend begins to die off, and so does that movement. And so they adopt another trend and another movement. It's very similar to like what we see now with like Black Lives Matter. People are for it.
Right.
When something else comes up, people jump on the Me Too, and then somebody jumps up. But then when you add and you intersect fashion with political stances, then it becomes a little convoluted. And so for me personally, I think that, you know, when it comes to like what you said, if you're standing for a movement, stand for the movement. And if you want to wear clothing to propagate the movement, which I think that is the number one reason for fashion, is a form of propaganda to show people where you stand, and not necessarily wear it as like a trend because it's quote unquote cool or in or it's,
you know,
fashionable.
I mean, that's just what's gonna happen though. People do that. But
yeah,
all,
I mean, it's like it's like dick riding. I don't like it.
But this is a tricky thing too, because I'm biracial. So I got Filipino and I got Jamaican, which is Afro-Caribbean roots. And I live in America. So trying to find my identity, and when I do reach out a specific way, I people are going to come at me some way. Like an example, I feel like I do high fashion, and I like to play around with prints, and I have this one print fabric that's inside right now that I'm debating if I even want to use it or not. And if because it has monkeys on it. So it's like I created this really fly-ass piece. Like, I know it's going to be fly as shit, but then how are people going to take it? Oh, she doesn't support her people. Why would she have monkeys all over her dress? Why would she want to dress a black woman that way? Blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
Do you understand? Like, it...
Yeah,
people will love it.
It's messy, but then it's also like it depends on the person. In my perspective, it depends on the person who does it, right? And me and Jay from our previous segment, we also discussed, and this ties in well, we discussed how Kanye West put the Confederate flag on one of his jeans jackets.
But girl,
and he's selling it as fashion.
Out there. Even Andre 3000 has a Confederate flag on his belt in this I'm Sorry Miss Jackson video. And nobody's saying nothing about that. I mean...
Okay, because he's Andre 3000. And that's true. But it's like, you know, I feel like trying to appropriate the Confederate flag because they want to change the meaning of it. But to me, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
I know it's tricky. I mean, the thing is, it's within our society, like, it's just everybody's so enclosed, and there's so many different cultures that are amongst us that there's a thin line between trans language. There's a barrier. When people don't understand something, they become afraid of it, and then it's like infectious. They'll make somebody else afraid of it, and it's like instead of fucking being afraid and creating a thicker wall, we need to, you know, try to thin out that barrier and understand each other more. And that's the thing about Tatiana Diane. You know, I include the international because I have I have a lot that's within my own background, like from my mother's side and my father's side, and then living here. I mean, and it goes further, of course, you know, tracing it back to Africa, and it's just, I want my things to be lasting, and I want people to use it as collector's pieces to also be a reminder, like, let's break down those barriers. Let's come together. Where in all of this does anybody ever talk about world peace?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Is it that hard? Is it really that hard? I feel like God's looking down like, what the fuck are you guys doing? You think God gets angry too? Like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Like, really, this is what you guys are doing? All right, you guys, you gotta figure it out and see which one's got to go, and then see who's gonna stay here. And like,
yeah. And I think it's more so like along the lines of like, human beings can't separate the id from their ego. They can't separate psychological terms. They can't separate themselves okay, from their egos. They can't separate what they want versus what is real and what they're going to stand by. They kind of muddy those waters. They kind of use the Bible cherry picking as a way of, you know, going for what they want. So if it's like, if I want to prove this, I'm going to only adopt this part of the Bible and negate everything else. And so it's that kind of mentality of irrationality, because we're basing it off of our egos and our feelings, and we're unable to dissociate ourselves and be able to be compassionate. It takes a really compassionate person to dissociate yourself from what you really want to do and how really angry you are, and your ability to want to express yourself and to retain that anger, and instead of reacting in our normal defense mechanism, instead react in love. And that is when you would find that quote-unquote world peace. But unfortunately, you know, everybody wants to be right, and everybody wants to prove themselves, and everyone wants to show their egos and challenge each other's egos because they believe that the other person's wrong and they're right. So we're always going to have that issue. But what, well, I really like about...
I hate when somebody says that with a passion. I hate it. And I love you, girl. And I'm telling you, I hate it. Like, I've heard it so many times while I've been here, and it's like, why does it always have to be that way? It has to start somewhere. Well, here, like,
yeah,
like I
say,
like, don't pay
attention
to the messenger, pay attention to the message. Like, what if God is saying now, like, how hard is it just to love? But within this love, it's like, how do people love? Because people don't know. There's a lot of people who don't love. They don't know how to love themselves. They don't know how to love others. And I feel like it's as simple as this. But people have to take the time to actually practice it. In order to love, we have to listen. And from listening, we're going to learn. And with that knowledge that you learn, you gotta value it from different points.
Your fashion is artistry, and art has an interpretation. And I interpret it as, like, the ultimate type of Black feminism, or just even real feminism. Where it's just like, and a lot of people are just like, girl, no. Because some people are against feminism.
Right.
But I believe in not, and I hate saying white feminism and Black feminism or whatever.
I do too.
But for me, it's true. Like, I feel like Black feminism is totally different from white feminism for various reasons. Okay. For number one, they didn't want Black women to march with them. And number two, they didn't view Black rights and Black women's rights equal to white women's rights. So it's a whole different field of feminism. So come for me, bro. But come for me in my inbox if you want to. I keep it real. But for me personally, I feel like you embody that, because it was not on an Amber Rose type bullshit, like, oh, we're going to just walk around with nothing on and we're going to be sluts and whatever. It wasn't like a fake-ass propaganda trying to make money slut walk. It was,
you think that slut walk is that way? Like, I really want to go to slut walk. I want to see what it's about. I could be women were walking around with, like, whatever. And, I mean,
that's a whole nother debate. Yeah, that's a whole nother debate, and I would love to get into that for another segment. That's a great idea, That's a great idea, Tati. I would love to talk
about
that. Like, I look at the stats, and I look at the movement, I look at how she propagates the movement, and then I look at, like, not only just that, I look at how much money she made from that movement, and I'm like, girl.
Money matter? Because it's like, in reality, when it comes down to it, my goal is to make money off of my clothes. My clothes isn't cheap. It comes with the price.
I mean, I would like to make money from my podcast, Lord God willing.
But,
you know, I would love to branch out of my podcast. I would love to. But at the same time, it's just like, where's your heart in the situation? Like, my podcast is not for a foundation. You know what I'm saying? I'm not out here.
But I think hers is. Like, there's.
I'm not. I would have. Oh, let me retract.
Go
that
to her
really
website. I'm pretty sure it's tied to something. Like, even with Tatiana Diane, like,
it's for sex rape and it's for sexual violence against women. That's her foundation.
Right, to bring awareness, like, this is what's really happening in the world, and people turn a cheek to it. There's a lot of people that turn a cheek to it, so it's like, I understand why she's doing it, and I understand I don't fully understand the whole business aspects of it, but I'm getting to know it, and, like, I mean, things have to pay for the event, and
Is it going into her pocket? Is it really, like, a production is not cheap.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that they pay her. They probably pay her, and I mean, like, this is just me hypothetically knowing. They probably just pay her for her appearance. Like, if I were to go, like, somebody wanted to pay me to go into a club or whatever, they would pay me, like, to go into the club and to have fun and to have people come to the club and spend money. Like, that would be the whole process of her being there. She's the face of that movement, and so they're going to pay her for her time of being there. But then that makes me question, like, if she is for that movement, was Martin Luther King paid for his appearances doing marches? Was Malcolm X? You know what I'm saying? Was Nia Simone? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I could keep going on and on and on, but it's just like, I want to know if you're about that movement, and if you're about a movement, I personally don't feel like you should get paid for it. I feel like people should help take care of you as far as, like, get you a room and a hotel and honorarium and all that. I'm down for that. But as far as you get paid, man, I question that. Highly, highly question it. But I mean, you know, to each his own.
So if, let me question it. If Versace had put Versace had put that event together, like, and you know,
I would laugh, because that would just be so interesting. But the Medusa head and slut walk, that would be an interesting combo. Like,
yeah,
put it together, I would just be
that
like,
that would be a big ass fashion show, and that's what I think.
It would be a big ass naked.
I feel like that's also an opportunity for people to do that. I don't see anything wrong here with it, but I think it's
an opportunity for people to show their titties, you know. It's an opportunity for women to show their chest or their titties,
I don't think it's that way. I feel like that's a whole nother side of it, like, that you maybe you should just go ahead and neglect, because all in all these people that are attending these events, they are able to connect with each other because they have been assaulted some way or another.
Which is no shade on that at all.
But I think that's also a beautiful thing for somebody to even just put that out there. Whether they make profit or not, Hugh Hefner had so many fucking parties and shit, and I'm pretty sure he was making profit off of that shit.
Well, yeah, there was not a foundation.
Was it a movement?
That's not like, you know, I don't know if it was breast cancer. I mean, it could have been.
There's a message in it, and that's what needs to be paid attention to. Like,
and of course, the message is very, very, very important. And just like with your line, Tatiana Diane, like, your message is very important. And if you guys don't know Tatiana Diane, that brand, it does produce a lot of just very salacious pieces, right? There's pieces where there's just like a lot of skin showing, and it's beautiful, but the way it is done is very, I don't even want to put like a turn to her or like categorization.
It's
so true. Boxing shit.
It's so true.
But it's just so
true.
It's beautiful. It's sexy. Sometimes you got your booty crack showing, and I'm like, yes to the booty crack showing.
Like, and in a piece like that, in the front, it would be very, you know, simple and tasteful. But, you know, when a woman walks right by, it's like, god damn, like, oh shit. Thank you, Lord, for just giving me this glimpse of wow.
Exactly.
I'm not. I feel like the woman who wears that, I expect her to feel confident within herself. And you know, if she is a feminist, then she is a feminist. If she isn't, she isn't. But I want that woman is a confident woman in herself. She knows that she's phenomenal, and she's that woman, that girl. There's a Maxi Priest song.
Nice. Well, thank you, Tati. I'm so excited that you were on Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. Tell us, where can we find your stuff? Where can we purchase it? Or if it's going to come out, so we all can definitely find your work and get ready so we can, you know, get some TV wear.
Well, I have something big coming to announce soon. excuse me. But as far as purchases, you guys are going to have to wait on it.
So, Tati, I just want to say thank you so much for coming out and definitely supporting Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. More than anything, it is an honor to have you on Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. Thank you so much, and we can't wait to see a lot more of what you got going on, girl. I'm excited too.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having this podcast available for people to listen to. Now I'm so nervous to listen to myself. I'll be like, nah, I didn't
You'll
hear
be-
it.
good. You'll be good. We love it's you, and I'm really appreciate it. So we will catch you soon. Again, you guys, check out my social media, and we gon' see.
All right, girl.
I'm excited.
Have a good one.
You do too. All right,
blessings.
Bye, love. So I know her. She's dope. I don't know if you guys know her. She does like a million trillion things. She's like the girl. She's a woman who is just like Superwoman, and actually freak Superwoman. She is Storm, okay?
Yes, she Storm. Is.
Yes, Storm. I'm getting them vibes. I want to introduce Leija Lene, also known as like everything, poet, writer, dancer, artist, philanthropist, social advocate. Like, can I put a slash by everything? Like, forward slash slash my life? Like, damn.
I'm a Jamaican at
so
heart.
Let's talk about Leija.
That just means that low ball have a multi-personality disorder and it's a gang of me. That's all that is.
By the way, Tania said, oh my god, I love her.
Tania,
I love her.
I've seen her forever.
I know. She was like on like two episodes. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh, she's so dope. She was like, I love Leija. She's just that I was like, girl, I know. I'm excited.
Bring the love.
Right? Always. So tell us about Black Privilege. I know you have a lot of projects. You're a part of a lot of things. But the one thing I absolutely like about what you do is that you create like a message through like artistry and everything that you do. And one thing I love is Black Privilege. Tell us about it.
So Black Privilege right now is a clothing line. In the future, it's going to be tons of things. But right now, the purpose of it is just kind of to invoke conversation. People don't understand what Black privilege is, what it means, what it feels like, if it exists, if it's a thing. And so ultimately having the conversation about what Black privilege is and what that means to different people is extremely important, because we all know what white privilege is. We are forced to look at it every day, and we live in a society full of it. It's intense, you know? So Black privilege, even though a lot of people have a lot of question marks behind it, I feel like when you start the conversation about it, it kind of eliminates the question marks and starts putting explanation marks behind it, and understanding that if you are Black, you are privileged, and that is a thing. And teaching that more than anything else.
That's dope. I think like a lot of people get get it confused, and they're like, well, what is Black privilege? Like, Black people, we don't have privilege. Like, some people think we don't have Black privilege. And what do you say to
them? I know. I get it all the time.
I'm like,
girl, Black privilege. First of all, where that at?
I get to say nigga, and you don't. That's
Black
privilege.
Period.
I get to, you know.
When people ask me the question, I just kind of tell them, like, look, it's a privilege to be Black. One, I think about what white privilege is, and I think about the fact that ultimately white privilege is the things that they're kind of birthed into. You know what I mean? They got the whole system set up for them. It's for them. It's by them. It's all these things, and they have all these great attributes that they get to just be birthed into, and everybody looks at it like, oh my gosh, I wish I had white privilege. But I'm like, look at here though, because being Black means that you're one, fantastic, but not only is it you being fantastic, but it's the fact that white privilege is the system. So the system was already set up against us. So the people that make it, that are Black in this system, it's like, yo, you made it because you're that much stronger, because you're that much more powerful, because you're that much more resilient, because you're that much more diligent. So understanding that, look, our ancestors went through a gang to get to where we are right now, and we're still striving. We're still really, really dope. And everything that we do, once we actually get that victim mindset out of our head. Ultimately, I started Black Privilege because I just got tired of everybody talking negatively about Black people. It was right after like 2015. 2015 was a crazy year. It was like over like 100 Black people killed by police officers, unarmed Black people at that. It was just a really, really crazy year, and that was kind of what the narrative was about Black people. It was just us dying, it was all these bad things happening, and everybody was just like, oh, what was me, what was me? Every time I turned on the news, that's all I heard, and I was like, look, this has to stop. Like, because there's also all these amazing things that Black people are accomplishing that nobody's paying attention to, and nobody is praising. And I wanted that to be what the narrative was. Yes, it's true that we struggle and that, you know, police brutality is a real thing and we definitely have to continue to fight against it. But just understanding that we're more than police brutality, more than just everything that's happening that's negative to us, and just make sure that the conversation is including all of the positive attributes that ultimately we were born with and that we strive for and that we just are.
Let's go Kings and Queens, on, Kings. With a Negus. I see you. One thing that I love about Black privilege, it kind of like, it brings back to what you said earlier, is just the fact that, you know, I was at a party earlier and I was just talking to someone and she was of Latino descent. Uh-huh. And she was explaining like how, you know, her culture is or whatnot, because I made jerk chicken, right. You know, all this, and I was kind of getting into a deep
Let
conversation
me find
about
you
culture.
Know how to do it. You ain't made me nothing,
girl. Jerk chicken, I will give you the recipe. Okay, we're gonna talk about wings and pot another time. That was a plug, y'all. So y'all need to, if you're in LA, go to
please
wings
do,
and pot.
Please do. Inglewood.
Some good food. Some good food. But I'm excited because for me, I was at this party, I was cooking jerk chicken, we were talking about like culture and whatnot with this Latino girl, her name is Stephanie, and I remember her mom and her said, well, to be real with you, like, we came from you.
Wow.
You guys are the creators of everything. I
Talk
said, oh,
it.
Goddamn, we got some woke Talk folk up it. In here. I'm loving it. Okay. So that is Black privilege in itself, is the fact that we were the creators of all the human race. We were the beginning. We were the start. That's Black privilege. And no one can take that from
nope.
you because it's in your DNA.
Legitimately.
So let me get preaching Kendrick Lamar here. Okay?
Get Kendrick on one time or two times.
Right? I too might stop me, but you know. But for real, like, we have that privilege, and that is something that is so beyond royalty. And I think that when we allow, like you said, all these negative events and occurrences with police brutality and even with like corporate, because mm-hmm. corporate can be the same way, like 100%. Corporate executives are the same way when they stop Black people from like rising up to the top, the glass ceiling, or even getting high paid jobs so Black people can afford and pay for their families and not end up in poverty mm-hmm. or homeless or whatnot. Mm-hmm. It really saddens me that it's not just the system with police brutality or our Black brothers and sisters being put in prison,
it's so much bigger
right,
than that.
As a form of slavery. It's bigger. It's the fact that we don't have the ends, like you said, with white privilege. However, we are extremely creative, and if we can learn to kind of work together and incorporate the for us by us motto, mm-hmm. FUBU.
Come on, FUBU.
Yes, I did. FUBU. And that's what I love about Black privilege. It's not just a trend. It's a mindset.
Exactly.
It's a perspective.
Exactly.
It's turning things that we have and making it more positive. And I dig the shit out of that.
Thank you. Ultimately, it came from... I have a nonprofit as well called Everlasting Love, and it's healing cards through creative expression. And with nonprofits, you know, you just don't make a lot of money. It's just a thing. And in order for a nonprofit to strive, you kind of need some type of sustainability plan, something that's bringing in some sorts of income. So that's, in thinking about that, Black privilege was already a thing for me, but I started thinking about Black privilege and I'm like, yo, a big part of Everlasting Love is just confirmation of character. It's knowing who you are and being proud of who you are. And in the mix of those negative conversations that I kind of hinted to earlier, I was like, yo, Black privilege. And I was like, ooh. Like, that's a powerful statement. Black privilege? Nobody says that out loud, but that's who I am, and that's how I feel. Like, that's my confirmation in my character. I am black, gosh darn it, and I am proud, and I am privileged. I am resilient. I am strong. I am all these things, and I feel like black privilege definitely represents that. And that's what I want people to know when they're wearing the apparel. That's what I want people to walk around feeling, and that's what I want people to talk about when people are like, yo, what is that shirt? What are those sweats? What does that mean? Talk to me. Explain to who that is and what that is. I'm super excited because I just started Kai Kai's collection, which is my son. And he has a kids collection now, and I literally just did the photo shoot for it. So I'm super excited about it. But it's for kids. And understanding what that is, there's not a whole lot of black privilege, if you will, apparel for kids. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of black pride. A lot of people have different lines out that, you know, black by popular demand, all the different things that are out, which are super duper dope. But there's not a whole lot of kids wear, unfortunately. So the Kaka collection was is a couple different things. One, I believe it's extremely important to start some source of income for our kids, some type of legacy for them to be able to walk into, which is something that white people do and Asians do and other people do, and ultimately black people just aren't that good at. So I try to do a really, really good job of making sure that his name means something, and that when he gets older, he's afforded opportunity. So with the Kai Kai collection and with Everlasting Love and Black Privilege and all the things that I am, meaning confirmation of character, I believe that it does start with children. So the Kai Kai collection is all for kids, and it's all confirmation of character for the kids, so they know who they are, that they are black and they are beautiful and they are kings and queens in the making, and that they are the evidence of purpose, and they are young activists, and they can be leaders, and they can be literally whatever they want to be, and really just honing in on that, because there's so many negative things that they see on television and in the news and everywhere else. It's like, nah, bump all of that. This is what you're still supposed to strive for, and just making sure that that's what everybody's talking about versus the negative.
Exactly. And it's kind of like lifting up our young kings, right? Instead of putting them down and saying, you know what? You know, the second conscious level of like society is not going to allow you to be anything. And so that causes a lot of young men to be like, well, why should I try? Exactly. Why should I do anything? I already have the cards stacked against me. And so that feeds into their self-esteem. And I freaking dig that. Like, that's extremely beautiful. And I think we need more black clothing lines catered, like you said, to our young children. That's... and I can't wait to see them, because I can't wait to purchase them.
I'm super
them, okay?
excited. I'll send you a sneak peek picture of this stuff.
Yeah, I get to sneak peek, y'all. Y'all don't get to see it. I'm not gonna screenshot it, okay?
not yet.
Y'all don't get the secrets. It's in a vault.
No, but it should be out in like 2 weeks, so it's quick. It's not a super wait for. It'll be here.
Nice. Okay. And then, like, my next question for you is, do you think FUBU for us, by us, is something that we should embody in our society, and how do you think we can go about in doing so? Like, how can our black society, our culture, embrace a for us, by us mentality when it comes to clothing lines, fashion designers, and even, you know, more so like any type of business person?
100%. I feel like it's something that we need to hone in on, because that's what everybody else does, and we out here struggling trying to figure it out, and ultimately it's because we don't really look out for each other. I know one of the things that people ask a lot is just kind of like, what was black privilege supposed to be, what is it supposed to be, and what I'm trying to do later. And I really want to create a website to where it's almost like a Google Maps, and no matter where you are, you can look up, say you're hungry and you're in Temecula, you can look up black-owned restaurants in Temecula. Say you're in Burbank and you want to get your nails done, you can look up a black-owned nail salon in Burbank. Wherever you are in the surrounding areas, you can kind of put up like a Google Maps of where it is, like, I really want to go to a black-owned hair salon or whatever. You'll be able to pull it up no matter where you are. So I'm going to start with Southern California and ultimately try to go everywhere. It's a whole lot of work, but that's my plans. So we can support each other and be there for each other. A lot of people are doing great things and we don't know about it. So it's like, if we put a place where everybody is aware of the Black people doing great things around you, then it's more accessible and we can do a better job of supporting this. So that's the plan.
Hey,
we're working on.
I hear a millionaire on a podcast.
Come on, billionaire.
I hear a millionaire on a podcast. Okay, call me Miss Cleo, but I see the future, y'all. And let me tell you, like, it sounds amazing. I like the fact that you're trying to create like a Google, like you said, like a Google Maps, but on a more like trying to make sure that you are the plug, or like having a plug base on the internet or on a technological basis, so that way people have more accessibility. And I think that is extremely needed. I know that there are a lot of platforms out there, like Black Businesses Matter and a lot of like Black business like websites,
yep,
where you can look up Black businesses and a lot of Black owned products like soap, detergent, toothbrushes, etc., which is amazing. But I think that we need something that is more catered towards our like surroundings. So I definitely think that is phenomenal. I'm excited. I know a lot of our listeners are just like, what? Yes, y'all.
It's coming.
They should come with that fire constantly.
It's coming. And look, if your heart is in it, and anybody that might be listening, bring it on. Because one thing that I have learned, I've been a serial entrepreneur since I was like 16. And you can't do anything by yourself. You need people. That's one of the biggest things that people fail at, because they keep on trying to start these businesses and do it by themselves, and you cannot. You will not succeed. You need people to make your dreams come true, and you need people with like-mind visions and passions and all of that. So I'll be welcoming everybody. You like it? For sure. Come with me so we can love it and we can figure this thing out together.
That's amazing. And it's very innovative, and we need more mindsets like that, Leisure, because a lot of people feel, and I've seen this on so many different levels, corporate and even nonprofit organizations. I've seen it where people literally are just like, you know what? I feel threatened that this person knows more about this subject than me, and I don't know if I can trust this person. But for you to be like, you know what? If you're about this life and if you're about the movement, come help. And I like that. It's very like, you know.
Because
you
listen, know, what God has
yeah,
for
it's
me,
a community.
For me, it's still mine. So you joining me don't take what's mine away from me. That just helps me get to it faster. Like, I'm not with the competition. For what? Not when we can all eat. And that's our issue. For us, by us. It's us means more than you. Not for you by Woo! You. It's for us, by us.
She's in that knowledge. Yes.
Come on, now.
I'm saying, you guys. So basically, I want everybody to stop what you're doing. I need you guys to look up Leisure Lene right now on your Instagram. Well, not right now, because y'all need to keep listening. We still got 2 more minutes to go. But I really want you guys to look her up. I want you to look her up on Instagram, on Facebook, everything. And I want you guys to see all the amazing things that she's doing. Contact her, support her, and let's make this dream happen. Okay, for us, by us. All right, Leisure. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, okay. So I think that was my exit. I forgot to say. So Leisure, I just want to say thank you so much for coming out on Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. It was a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for showing love. And I definitely will be supporting. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you. But wait. Before you go, where can we find Black Privilege? Because I'm going to need to cop me one of them amazing shirts and a hat. I need a fitted so I can go around and be like stunned in Orange County.
You got that. You can get a fitted. You can get a dad hat. You can get everything. So you can find me at BOK Privilege on Instagram, and then BOKPrivilege@gmail.com if you want to talk to your girl. Facebook is Black Privilege Lifestyle. And then www.blkprivilege.com. Right now, I have a big cartel up for you to actually be able to purchase things. So Yay! That is myblackprivilege.bigcartel.com.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop. Let's get it.
Get
I want everybody rocking privilege. Black privilege. Let's
that
go.
Part. If you're not rocking Black privilege, you're tripping.
Right? You really tripping, and we don't want you. You can't sit with us. No, you can sit with us. We might have to just talk to you. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. You can sit with us. And if you talk nice tonight, enough, I'm going to give you all kinds of discounts. What's up?
But anyway, Thank you again, Leja. We can't wait to see more. And you guys definitely look into her. Copy some Black Privilege apparel. I'm excited. And yeah.
Thank you. And blessings to you, Queen. Keep going. Keep pushing.
Thank you, love. Blessings as well.
All right.
I want to give a big ups, boo, 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 big ups, boo, boo, boo. It's the wackest Jamaican gunshots ever. Oh my gosh. I want to give a big shout out for real, you guys, to all of the Black clothing lines and fashion designers that were on Big Mouth Black Girl podcast this episode. So definitely going to give a shout out to Sucker Free, to Tatiana Diane International, and to Black Privilege. All of these fashion collections and fashion designers will be on my social media, so my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. So all you have to do is just click on their link, or I should say, you know, their name. Click on their name, go to their page, follow them, see what they're doing, see what they're about, support their movement. And if you can, definitely support them by buying some like shirts, some clothing, you know, hit them up with if you want a nice design or dress made. I'm just saying, we're kings and queens, so we should be tailored as such. But no, for real, you guys, we need to be conscious consumers in the way that we wear our clothing. It shouldn't just be, oh, this is a cute top, but we need to understand the history. We need to understand the reason behind that fashion, as well as what it's supporting and what it stands for. So without further ado, you guys, I am excited. I'm so happy for them to come on the platform. And more importantly, I'm excited because I can't wait to start rocking my fitted and my gear too. So I'm rocking FUBU for Us By Us. Are you? And if not, you definitely want to. About episode 9 coming up. I got some surprises. Well, it's not really a surprise, coming to tell you anyway. We are going to go live with episode 9 on YouTube. So check out Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. I need you guys to go to Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast on YouTube. You need to subscribe and get ready because we have an amazing freaking comedian. He is so fucking funny, you guys. This guy has me busting guts every time we have conversation. I look at his work. He's so talented. This brother is about to blow up, and I can't wait to be like, you know, I believed in you first. So we need to support him. We need to definitely look him up. But before I tell you who he is, y'all need to watch episode 9 on YouTube Live. And we're also going to be recording the podcast. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. And without further ado, bye.